two older brothers and a younger sister. And so there was a family of six, and my mom would go out once in a while and buy, I would say six treats for everyone in the family, and I would usually eat mine and somebody else's. And then they always say, "Oh, who took my thing?" And I started denying it from a young age. Like, I didn't do it. Or I would eat half of somebody else's, you know? And it got pretty bad to where my dad started locking things up in his room. And I would, if he left that door open for a second and went somewhere or something, boy, I'd go in there and steal something really quick. I mean, I would steal food. So usually the sugary type of substances. Yeah, I would take them or take a few. And so at a young age, I'm not too sure exactly when, maybe 10, 11 or something like that. I got my mom took me to a dietitian, and what I remember from that was that we talked about, but the imprint in my mind from that young age was that I when I got there, I would say hi or whatever, and then she would have me stand in this little box, and the little box had a number. And depending on what the number said, I was either good or bad. I was doing good. Oh, you're doing good. Or what's going on? It means like, oh, no, I'm not doing that good. So even then, I remember not eating, or not drinking anything before I go see her. So my number would be lower. And so that basically from that imprint and, continuing on for the rest of my life, depending on that number, I was either good or bad. I don't know. That's what I learned from that, So a history of dieting, trying many different kind of diets. You guys know all about that or whatever. And I went on a diet and I went into the military. And that was a big mistake. I just barely got in. When I got in, they marked me at 22% body fat, and that was the maximum you can be allowed to get into the military. And so that started another long drawn out. In the military, they weigh and measure you, or they usually only weigh you, but if you weigh a certain amount, then they have to measure you. And that was done every 6 months. So it feels like I felt like a balloon, I kept, once I passed and passed this what they call PFTs, physical readiness tests, I was off to the races. My diet ended, and then I'll start dieting a month or two or whatever before again I'd have to be weighed and measured. So a long story of that, and I'll throw in, I did some, and back then they had three strikes and you're out. If you had three strikes against you, you were discharged on a medical, which is an honorable discharge. And I did a lot of things, obviously the dieting, but I also one time I paid the person that measured me $20. Or I don't know if he said it or whatever, but I did that, so I paid him. Or I'd make friends with the person who did the measuring and weighing or whatever, and then I would ask him how to lose weight, and they would see that I was trying really hard, and they would see me running, so they would pass me too. They go, "Oh, look at Rex, he's really trying really hard. Let's he's a good guy." I am a good guy. The thing is, I was a compulsive overeater, and
5 minutes have passed.
thank you. And I tried to overachieve, Anyway, so another thing I did back then, I was in the military a long, long time ago before they had like the medical records. And So they had a file, and I had a file with two strikes on it. So my third one, I would have been medically discharged. And one day, I don't know, I stole the file. I stole the file. And when it came to the rightness, they couldn't find my file or anything. And I don't know. I mean, how do I know? I don't keep the files. So they started new files. I was black, had a blank sheet again. So anyway, these are all the things I did in the military for my compulsive eating. And another quick thing I remember, they would measure my waist and my neck. And obviously I would hold my waist, and the guy, let your waist out. I mean, I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to let my waist out. You think I'm stupid? I want to fail or something. But anyway, so long story short, let's see, in 1996, I was overseas in Japan. And then I got sent to rehab for alcoholism. And I'm going to mention my alcoholism because it's how I found OA. And I went to that rehab in July of 1996. It was up in Miramar Base. They used to have a naval hospital there, but now it's a Marine base. But back then it was a naval base, and they had something called SARS, substance abuse. I don't remember, but luckily for me, when I got there, it was in the middle of summer. I had a foul weather jacket. That means a heavy duty extreme weather jacket, which was really big, but it covered up everything. Well, I thought it covered up everything, but I couldn't close my pants because they didn't make pants my size, and I would have to special order them. And I didn't want to go through all that process and eat, sending a check through mail. Things weren't as easy as they were today, So luckily for me, when I got to the rehab center, the person who triaged me, or the doctor that interviewed me, there I was standing in the middle of the summer with a foul weather jacket because my pants couldn't close. And people would always tell me, "Aren't you hot in that jacket?" I go, "No. Of course I was hot, but I couldn't close my pants." But anyway, so luckily for me, the doctor who triaged me gave me the 15 questions of OA. And I go, yes. He goes, okay, your primary addiction is alcoholism. Your secondary, you're a compulsive overeater. I'm so grateful that somebody actually named my disease, because I didn't know. I thought I just needed to lose weight. Thank God that I don't think I've ever would have come up on that on my own, that somebody telling me you are a compulsive overeater. Anyway, so I was in the treatment center, and that was a 6-week inpatient. And they put all the alcoholics in one section, or all the regular people ate whatever they could, and the compulsive overeaters had to eat together in a table. And it was hard. It was I cried in that treatment center because other people were eating treats and I couldn't eat treats. And I thought that was really, really mean. How can they do that? But at least, thank God, I was there with at least 10 other guys, so I wasn't the only one. I go, well, I'm not the only one, So, and yeah, and luckily, at that time too, there was a bulimic man and there was an anorexic man, so I got to see everything, at that. Anyway, long story short, so I went to my first. So since my primary addiction was alcoholism, according to the doctor, I think he did a good
And
job.
minutes have passed.
I think the doctor did a good job on identifying, unless the only thing is he got him backwards. My primary was compulsive overeating, my secondary was alcoholism. So anyway, that's how I found OA. I came to my first meeting in 1996. I felt at home. I've been in the program since then. I'm a relapse survivor, so I've gained and lost 100 pounds more than once. Luckily, when I was at the treatment center, at the end of the treatment center, they offered a spiritual retreat. And I didn't want to, who wants, I don't want to go on no spiritual retreat. But when I found out you can get an extra week off of work because you needed to sign up and go, I go, yeah. And then at the end, I go, yeah, I want to go. So they signed me up, and I, because I wanted to go because I didn't want to go back to work. I want to go, yeah, let me go camping for a week. And it was up in the mountains, a spiritual retreat. And that's where I had my first spiritual experience. I didn't know what it was then, but I think in one of the books, in the AA book, was I don't remember the story at the moment, but it was the person that was wearing his glasses backwards. He couldn't see right, but then finally I put my glasses on and I can see people smiling, and I don't know. It's just weird. I had a spiritual experience up there. And the worst thing I've ever done in OA is that I left for 5 years. That's when my dad died and a bad relationship, and I just went back to the food. I gained like 80 pounds. I came back once to OA after eating a ton of sugar. That day didn't work because I go, well, before I went there, I like totally binged out, and I go, well, this will be the last time, you know, and that didn't work. And I'm just laughing at myself because I go, well, because I knew how OA worked. And so I've been in OA for a long time, and I've done service. I've done tokens. I've done treasurer, which is the one I don't like. I've been in the intergroup rep. Then I became an intergroup vice chair. Then the vice chair quit, so I became the what is that called? The OA, I don't know, the chair, San Diego Intergroup chair, and I did that for a stint of 4 years, and then I'm currently on the Serenity Retreat, but I did 2 years, one stint, and then another 2 years, two stints, and I'm probably on now again, maybe like five, after COVID, I've done like probably 2 to 3 years now on the San Diego Intergroup Retreat, Serenity Retreat Committee. By the way, yeah, we're having one, but that's on the website. We're also having an urban retreat in San Diego. I believe that's October 18 and 19. So if you come to San Diego, you can attend that. That's a no staying at that hotel, but you can attend it. I mean, at that location. And probably running out of time. So I've worked the steps several times. I have had sponsees. It's funny how time runs out really quick. How much time do I have? Like 5, 10 minutes? 5 minutes? Oh, it's up to, oh, okay. So I just saw your okay. So oh, I have plenty of time. Okay, so I've also been in, which I really recommend, step studies, what I where people actually did work. And you know, I got a lot out of step studies. Not a step study meeting, but a step study group. You know, we're committed and we go through step one, step two, step three, step four. And I really learned a lot because when I heard other people articulate certain things, that's when I can identify, because I couldn't put things into words sometimes, you know, but I had these feelings or I had these issues. But when somebody else said it, I go, oh yeah, that's me too. Yeah, I never were able to put those into words, you know, those things, those feelings. And currently, so I'm see, currently I'm on the retreat committee, and I do tokens at a Monday meeting, and I'm currently doing by the way, thanks, Malia, for asking me to speak. I don't know if she's here, maybe not, but and I'm
5 minutes remaining.
thank you. I'm filling in for her, so I'm doing the literature at the Monday meeting also. And another thing that's really good that I like is that luckily for me, those two meetings, one's at 12:30 and the other one's at 12, so Monday and Thursdays. And they have fellowship after. So I think the fellowship's really important. For me, it is. We go out, and usually we should have lunch somewhere we all decide on. And, we usually pick places that have where you can have your healthy choice or whatever you is on your food plan. So it's really good to, so I feel like I have a little family that I get to get together with every Monday and Thursday. And I do attend another 12-step program, and that's usually Sundays, and they have fellowship too. So I have my support group, and that other group also has and it's all the 12-steppers, and they have a hiking group once in a while. So I like to do that. So I'm very, connected to my 12-step programs. It's you're either connected or involved, or you're disconnected. The more connected you are to your power source, the greater the results. It's like you could turn on the light switch, but if there's no power or there's no connection to the grid, you're not the light's not going to go on. So there's a lot of yeah, I like being involved, and being in the program has given me what I really like is once I had my food stable for a long time, I was able to work on other areas of my life, which is really cool. But if my food is unstable and I'm just into the food, any other area of my life is going to be fuzzy or foggy or whatever. So I'm grateful that and I got to say I will say that I'm not the poster child for OA. As I said, I'm a relapse survivor. I've tried to do things my way and they don't work. And it's funny, the first food plan I had 15 years ago, or whatever, no, it's more like 27, 28 years ago, that the military gave me they did the 301, that's they actually gave you the food plan back then, because that's what the military gives you, 3 meals a day. They give you breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and that's it, and staying away from my binge foods. And thank God I
2 minutes remaining.
the obsession has been removed. And what I want to say is I've never been able to work this program perfectly, but the best thing I've ever done is to stay here, either when I'm, even when the food's way out of control, because I have a better chance sitting in these chairs or in these Zoom rooms than being out there on my own without OA. At least something might click or something may happen while I'm in the rooms versus when I was in relapse for 5 years. The worst thing is I kept saying, one day I'm going to go back there. One day I'm going to go back there. One day I'm going to go back there. That one day took 5 years. And relapse is real for me, so I'm really scared of it. I'm a real compulsive overeater, so I'm like the alcoholic, who can justify having a drink, like the whiskey with the milk or whatever, It's a nice sunny day, summer day, and I deserve or whatever, all those stories. I'm running out of time, and I do want to hear from you. I also I start work at 10 a.m. and I'm about 20 minutes away from my work, or 25 minutes. So at the end, I might have to leave a little early. I don't know what time this meeting ends, but I do have to be at work at 10 a.m. Thank God I got a chance to eat my breakfast before coming on here. And I think I'll close there. And
Sure.
yeah, I like that saying, don't leave until the miracle happens. Thank you.